You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
Israel's final seven-year period. Daniel chapter 9 and Revelation 13. Let me kind of set the stage. If you haven't been with us, if you're new, welcome again. So glad you're here. And here's what we're studying. We're studying a 70-week prophecy. And this prophecy is for the nation Israel. And we have been looking. It reveals God's grand plan of salvation. What he is going to accomplish in his grand plan of salvation for Israel and for the world. If you are new with us, I have great news. God is sovereign over all things. And the world, even though it looks crazy, it's not out of his control. He is ruling and reigning, and he has created a grand plan of salvation that he thought of, the Bible tells us, that he laid out and planned out before the universe was even created. And this plan of salvation is right on track. And it will culminate with the return of Jesus Christ to rule and reign on the earth to bring judgment against sin. He came the first time to be a savior of sin. He's coming the second time to put an end to sin, to bring judgment on sin, and to set up his kingdom. And these 70 weeks of Daniel cover that period. If you'll open up your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter 9, let's jump in. We're going to we've been in this section for the last several weeks, and we're going to finish today on verse 27. Last week, we spent the entire service on verse 26, and today we're going to spend the entire service on verse 27. So if you haven't been with us, we're going to pick up at verse 24, Daniel 9, verse 24, to get a context of what we're looking at. And let's pray as we open God's word. Lord, we come before you realizing the incredible privilege that we have of holding the divinely inspired word of God in our hands. Lord, amazing that you have preserved it through the ages when there have been so many who have tried to destroy it. And Lord, you have preserved it because you want to reveal yourself to us. And you want to reveal your love for us. And you want to reveal to us your grand plan of salvation. So Lord, help us to see and to understand the things that are written in your marvelous word that we might know you, know your heart, and walk with you in this life. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Verse 24, Daniel 9, verse 24. Here's the setting of what we're reading. Daniel is a captive in Babylon. He was taken at 15 years of age, approximately 15 years of age, and brought as a young teen into Babylon, taken out of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem, burned it to the ground, and took all the Jews captive into Babylon. Daniel has been there for 67 or 68 years at this time. And he reads in the book of Jeremiah, and he reads a prophecy that Jeremiah gave. Jeremiah is dead at this point. Reads a prophecy that Jeremiah gave, and God foretold that the Jewish people would be captive in Babylon for 70 years. Daniel looks at that prophecy and he interprets it literally. He thinks that it means 70 years and you're going to be released just as it says. I want you to know it is very wise to interpret your Bible literally. All of the prophets did. All of the men of faith of old did. Daniel interprets it literally and he says, God, I believe your word. We're going to be out of Babylon very shortly now. And he starts praying and interceding for Jerusalem. And as he's praying and interceding for Jerusalem, confessing his sins and the sins of his people, the Jews, God does something spectacular. God sends the angel Gabriel to him. And Gabriel comes and he says these words, Daniel, fear not, for you are greatly beloved. Like, wow, amazing. I want you to know something. The moment that you begin to pray, God responds. The angel Gabriel tells Daniel, the moment you began to pray, God sent me to you, for you are greatly loved. And that is here we have in Daniel a physical manifestation of what happens whenever we pray. As children of God, when we call upon God, he moves in heaven. And you pray for your sons, you pray for your daughters, you pray for a friend, and heaven begins to move. God begins to say to the angelic realm, hey, move in response. And prayer is powerful. May we understand as a church, may we be a praying church. Daniel was praying, and he believed that God responded, and God did respond. He sends Daniel, says, Daniel, you are greatly beloved. And now here's the message that Daniel brings, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Now, I know we've looked at this for multiple times, but again, for your people, who is this message to? The Jews. It pertains to the rest of the world because it affects us. But this message is for Israel, for the Jewish people. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Who is Daniel's holy city? Where is that? Jerusalem. It's been burned to the ground right now. It's been completely destroyed. So this message is for Jerusalem and for Israel, the Jewish people. And notice what he says, 70 weeks. The Hebrew word, this is the last time you'll get to say it. The Hebrew word is Shabuah. Say it with me. Shabuah. And it means it means a group of seven. So 70 Shabuahs, 70 groups of seven. The translators translate it a week because a week is a group of 7 days. But this group of seven is not days, it's a group of years. So 70 groups of 7 year periods are determined for your people. Or 70 times seven is how much? 490 years are determined for your people. For the rest of our time this morning, every time we use the word week, we're remembering that this is Shabuah, which means 7 years. A week is a week of years, 7 years. Okay, so moving forward in the talk today, every time we say a week, it means how long?
7 years.
Okay, so let's read it again. 70, 7 year period. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Okay, 490 years determined for Jews and for Israel, for Jerusalem. What's it going to happen? Well, these six things. And if you've already numbered them in the previous weeks, good on you. If you haven't numbered them, number them right now. These are the six things that God is going to do in these 490 years, this God's grand plan of salvation. Number one, to finish transgression. To finish the transgression. That has not happened yet. Israel is sinning against God. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. But this is going to finish transgression. Number two, it's going to make an end of sins. Number three, it's going to make reconciliation for iniquity. We see that happened with Jesus on the cross. Reconciliation for all of our sin was made when Jesus went to the cross. Aren't you glad? Did you sin yesterday? Did you blow it? Did you mess up? I have good news for you. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, he has made provision for your sin. He has forgiven you. You are cleansed. Not only are you cleansed, but you are reconciled to God. Your friendship to God is restored. God is not mad at you. He is for you. And because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness and his mercies are new morning by morning. Oh, how amazing to be a child of God and have all of our sins cleansed and forgiven. So number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Oh, I long for the day when there's no more crime, there's no more murder, there's no more sex trafficking, there's no more fentanyl killing innocent people, there's no more drug addiction, there's no more all the horrid things, or corruption in government, to bring in everlasting righteousness. It will happen, everlasting righteousness, when Jesus Christ returns and reigns as a king on the whole earth. and brings in his messianic kingdom. He will bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, put a little number five right here, to seal up vision and prophecy. When Jesus comes back and rules and reigns bodily, physically from Jerusalem, he's coming again. And when he does, we will not need any Bible prophecy because this plan of salvation will be completed. Right now, we need Bible prophecy because this plan of salvation is still in the works. It's not finished yet. But the day is coming when Jesus returns and vision and prophecy will be sealed up, will not be needed anymore. Everybody will be able to see and know and talk to Jesus. He'll be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. And number six, to anoint the most holy place. That is the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It will be restored. Right now, it's trampled underfoot by the Muslims. It will be restored, and the Dome of the Rock will be obliterated, and it'll be restored to the throne and the temple of God there in Jerusalem. So those are the six things that God is going to do in his grand plan of salvation in this 490-year period for Israel, these 70 weeks for Israel. Are you tracking with me? Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be seven Shabuas, or 49 years, in other words, and 62 weeks, or Shabuas, or 434 years, and you add those together, and you get 483 years. And notice what he says. He says, listen, again, Daniel is a captive in Babylon. Jerusalem is destroyed and burned. And God says, there's a command coming from a king to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem. And when that command comes, you can get your calendar out and you can count out 483 years. And on the 483rd year, the Messiah will come. And so we did this in our previous week study. We camped out just on that verse. And we did all the math. It wasn't even just math. It was calculus, for crying out loud, right? We saw it, and we saw King Artaxerxes of Persia. He issued a command in 444 BC to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem that had been burnt to the ground. And this is just secular history. You can look it up on Wikipedia or Encarta or whatever it is you use and find that day that King Artaxerxes issued the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. He issued the command to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah went and rebuilt Jerusalem. And we counted off 483 years from that day, and it works to the very day in just an amazing, most amazing prophecy, to the very day that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, presenting himself as Israel's Messiah, to the very day. And Jesus said, O Israel, how I wanted to gather you on that day that he rode in on Palm Sunday. How I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under its wings. But you were not willing, in that you did not recognize this thy day of your visitation. Prophesied to the very day. And so here's what he says. Know therefore that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, comes, there's going to be 7 weeks, which is 49 years. That led us to the end of the Old Testament, and 62 weeks, another 434 years, for a total of 483, led us to the very day that the Messiah rode in on Palm Sunday. Then he gives some commentary on this. The street, talking about the street of Jerusalem, shall be built again. Remember, Jerusalem's in a shambles when he hears this. And the wall will be rebuilt. That's what Nehemiah rebuilt, even in troublesome times. And we saw how this was completely fulfilled. Artaxerxes issued that command. Nehemiah went back to build the streets and to build the walls. And the Syrian army came against him. And all the builders had to have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. They'd be working on the wall, be working on the streets, and they'd have to put down the construction materials, fight a battle, drop their sword, start working again. Not much has changed in Israel all these years. Still the same thing, right? So all that was fulfilled verbatim. Now, verse 26, circle the word after. After these 62 Shabuas, or in other words, after this 483 period, God's prophetic time clock for Israel stops. And it says the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. Cut off means killed. We know this happened. Jesus rode in on the 483rd year, exactly as Daniel said. And that was Palm Sunday. 5 days later, on Friday, he was killed. Not for himself, for our sins. Then it says, and the prince of the people of the prince who is to come, this is the Romans, they shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. We looked at this last week. That happened verbatim. Titus Vespasian besieged Israel, AD 66. Put soldiers all around and went to war against the Jews. And it culminated in 70 AD, and the Jewish temple was destroyed, and 1.1 million Jews were killed in this war against the Jews. Here's what he says, he shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and then the end shall be with a flood. And it was, when Vespasian killed 1.1 million Jews, the Jews scattered from Jerusalem all over the earth. It's called the diaspora. And they scattered all over the earth. And they remained scattered for nearly 2,000 years until 1948, when God began to call them back home. And so all this has happened. The end shall be with a flood. That means a dispersion of all the Jews. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. That's where we're living right now. Is Israel under desolations today? Yes. So you can put a little line right here at the end of verse 26. We talked about this last week. We spent all last week looking at verse 26. That is this gap in the 70-year period, these 77-year periods. That is the gap, and that gap is the church age. Because Israel rejected their Messiah, God put the prophetic time clock on hold and put Israel in a timeout. And we looked at this in detail. You can go back and listen. Jesus foretold this was going to happen. He cursed the fig tree. He tried to fertilize the fig tree. It didn't produce fruit. The fig tree is Israel. We looked at all that. So you can draw a line underneath verse 26 and write the church age. And sure enough, that's exactly what's happening right now. War and desolations on Israel. And here we are in the church age. Now, the first word in verse 27 is what? Then. After the church age, God's grace is going to fall back on Israel. And we learned last week that what's going to happen? God's grace is upon the church right now. And Romans would tell us that God's grace is going to remain on the church until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. There is a day. It is coming. I hope it's today. When the last Gentile will receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They'll understand that Jesus died on the cross for them, that they could have their sins forgiven, that they can be reconciled to God, that God is not mad at them, that he wants to have an intimate relationship with each one of us, and that Jesus died on the cross for that purpose. And their heart will be moved, and they'll say, man, I want to quit doing life my way. I want to do life God's way. Jesus, I believe that you are the Messiah that died on the cross for me, and they will be saved. And there'll be a day when the last Gentile comes in and the church will be raptured. God will say, I'm done with the church age. This is his grand plan of salvation. It's been laid out from the beginning of time. And now his grace will fall on Israel again. Right now, Israel is blinded. Paul tells us this in Romans. Listen, church, this is Romans 11. I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery. This mystery? The church age and the spiritual blindness that has happened to Israel. I want you to know something. If you are a Christian today, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that was not your doing. God called you, and he gave you spiritual eyes to see. And he gave you spiritual ears to hear and to understand the truth of his love for you. You did not do that on your own. That was God revealing that to you. Imagine for a moment you didn't have a sense of smell. Well, I don't care how hard you tried, you would not be able to smell anything if that wasn't given to you. That's a gift. And so you could have filet mignon in front of you, or you could have cow dung in front of you, and you wouldn't know the difference because you don't have a gift of smell. And spiritually, your ability to see that Jesus is the Messiah and to understand his love for you is a gift. And the Jews do not have it right now. They don't have that sense. You have to be born again. You are spiritually dead, and Jesus has to make you born again. Your eyes are not able to perceive the things of God unless he opens your eyes to them. Your heart is not able to receive the things of God unless he opens your ears to them. And Paul would say again, Romans 11, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be proud in your own opinion. Blindness has happened in part to the nation Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and then all of Israel will be saved. God is going to open their eyes, and they're going to see Jesus. They're going to understand that he's the Messiah. And God is going to pour his spirit on the Jews again. The Revelation tells us there are two Jews that God is going to use. They're going to be prophets, the two witnesses. Probably going to be Moses and Elijah. And God is going to pour his spirit, and they're going to do incredible things during this last 7 years. There's also 144,000, the Bible tells us, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and God is going to pour his spirit on them in a moment. The church is going to be raptured, and God's spirit then is going to fall upon Israel. And I want you to think about this 144,000. There's a preview of it. Do you know who that preview of it is? A guy named Saul of Tarsus. He was a religious leader in Israel. But he couldn't see Jesus, that Jesus was the Messiah. And he hated Jesus. And he was persecuting the church. And he was killing Christians. And in a moment, Jesus opens his eyes and he realizes that Jesus is the Messiah. And he goes from one who hates the Christians to then becomes the Apostle Paul, who writes a big, huge chunk of the New Testament and plants churches everywhere. That is a preview of the 144,000. Right now, they're religious leaders that don't believe in Jesus, but they know their Bible, their Old Testament. But they're spiritually blind, they're spiritually dead, they're spiritually deaf. And in a moment, their eyes are going to be opened. God's grace, the 70th week of Daniel, is the last seven-year period, is going to fall upon Israel, and their eyes are going to be opened. This is the last seven-year period for Israel, and going to be amazing. And that's what verse 27 says. Look, this is what he says. Then, after the church age, that's the Antichrist. You say, well, how do you get that? Well, the pronoun goes back to the last person that was mentioned, and that is the people of the prince who is to come. This prince who is to come is somebody that Daniel has been telling us about over and over and over. We learned about him in chapter 7. We learned about him in chapter 8. Daniel has given him a ton of names. This Antichrist, this prince who is to come. He called him this little horn. A horn is a king or a ruler. A little horn who has pompous words. He's going to have an incredible orator. He called him a powerful ruler. He told us that he's going to subdue the nations. He told us that he's going to blaspheme God. He told us that he's going to persecute the saints. He told us, you'll remember, that he's going to change the times and the seasons. He's been telling us about him. In other words, he's going to change the calendar and the holidays. You say, no, you can't do Christmas anymore. You can't do Easter anymore. You can't do Passover anymore. He's going to change the times and the seasons, and he's going to cause deceit to prosper. He is the Antichrist. That's who he's talking about here. And notice what it says. Then, after the church age, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. I want you to know, we hear this phrase, the Antichrist, And we think, ooh, he's going to be scary evil. And that's true, but he doesn't look like that. The Bible calls him a beast, but the world will look at him like a superhero. Who is your favorite Hollywood star? Yell out some names. Everybody's like, I'm not doing that. There's no way I'm saying Taylor Swift in church. No way. No. Whoever your favorite star is, the Antichrist will have far more star power. He will be charismatic and handsome and articulate and incredibly intelligent. And look what he does. You can write three things he's going to do in this last 7-week period. Mariah, put the title slide up for me, if you will. This is Israel's last 7 years, and these are the three things he will do in this last 7-year period. Then he, that's the Antichrist, put a little number one right here. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. The many is the Jews and the other nations. He will confirm a covenant, a peace agreement with them. And he will bring in peace. Put a little number two right here. In the middle of the week, or in the middle of the Shabuah, or in the middle of the 7 years. What's the middle of 7 years? At exactly 3.5 years, he will bring an end to sacrifice and offering. What does that mean? It means they have to be then doing what? Sacrificing and offering. Are Jews right now doing sacrifices and offering? No. So he'll bring in a peace agreement that will allow the Jews to have sacrifice and offering in a temple. But in the middle of that 7-year period, or exactly 3.5 years, he'll bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. Put a little number two right there. And then number three, on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. Those are big words. Let me explain it. He's going to cause an abomination. An abomination is something that is an incredible offense to God. And he's going to bring in an abomination that brings desolation on the earth, or destruction on the earth. So those are the three things. He's going to make a covenant with Israel and the nations. Number two, in the middle of that 7-year period, he's going to bring an end to the sacrifice and offerings that the Jews are making, and he's going to set up an abomination that causes desolation on the earth. And Gabriel tells Daniel, even until the consummation there is of God's judgment, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. The better word would there, you probably have a note in your Bible, is poured out on the desolator. Who is the desolator? The Antichrist. This guy that we're talking about. God's judgment at the end of that 70 years is going to come upon him. And look what it says, even until the consummation of God's judgment, which is determined, is poured out on the desolator, the Antichrist. Very interesting. The Bible's phenomenal. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that Jesus will come back at the end of this 7-year period, this last 7 years for Israel on the earth. Jesus will come back, and he will destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. The Antichrist is going to cause total genocide of the Jews and world war. There'll be nuclear bombs in the air. And Jesus will come back and stop all of it. And what he does, the first thing he does, is he puts the Antichrist and the false prophet, and he casts them into the lake of fire. This may surprise you. No one is in the lake of fire. No one is in hell yet. The very first person that goes to hell is the Antichrist and the false prophet. And it's exactly what Daniel says here. Until the consummation of this judgment, which is determined, is poured out on the desolator. No one else goes to hell, to the lake of fire, until after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ and the great white throne judgment. The Antichrist and the false prophet are the only two in hell for 1,000 years. So let's unpack all of this. I know that was a lot. Here's what we see. God has a purpose in this last 7-year period for Israel. It's a time of refining for Israel that will lead Israel into a relationship with Jesus Christ in sincere repentance of their sins. God is going to pour His Spirit on them during this time. He's going to bring national salvation and redemption of Israel through Jesus Christ. And He's going to allow Israel to see. They're going to be deceived by this Antichrist. But He's going to change them in this seven-year period. He's going to help them to see that Jesus is the Messiah. And He's going to bring judgment on all of the nations. Jesus said at the end of the tribulation period that He would appear. Jesus said, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Why? Because the Antichrist wants to destroy every single Jew. There'll be nuclear weapons in the air, and Jesus will return. And Jesus says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. He says, but nevertheless, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Who's the elect's sake? Israel. For my covenant with Israel, my covenant with Abraham, my covenant with David, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened, and He will come back in power, and He will judge the Antichrist and the false prophet, cast them into hell, and set up His millennial kingdom. So this is the purpose of the 70 weeks of Daniel, and in that, Mariah, put those 6 points up. All these 6 things will be fulfilled when that happens. And this is Israel's last seven-year period. There will be righteousness on the earth at the end of the seven-year period.
You have been listening to Pastor David Menard's message titled Israel's Final Seven-Year Period from Daniel 9 and Revelation 13. In part one, we explored the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks, the historical context, and how it points toward the final seven-year period known as the Tribulation. This is part one of the message. To continue and hear more about the Antichrist and the events in Revelation 13, please click on Israel's Final Seven-Year Period, Part 2, for the next section.